think all the Baptists are sleepy this morning. Probably Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras have anything to do with it? No? Mike, you see your glasses? Well, anybody lost their glasses, you know, you'll find out. I'm going to ask you to read the Bible. I got a couple of prayer requests this morning. First of all, thank you all for coming this morning. Last Sunday, our attendance was a little slim. Everybody know Brother Clay is out of town. Then everybody thought the funeral was Thursday. He's going to be here to see Sunday. Everybody came back. Sorry to disappoint you. You got what you see, what you got. I have two prayer requests, well, three prayer requests. Pray for Brother Clay and Belva. They'll be traveling. They'll be here on Tuesday. And I talked to him a couple of days ago. So he'll be coming home and continue to pray for travel mercy. And Miss Beverly Johnson, she's going to have a surgery tomorrow morning in Houston. Pray for her. And my wife, Jane, she's going to have a surgery on Tuesday. We don't know what time it is. She has a sinusitis. She's been nursing that for many months. And now the doctor says she doesn't have a sinus, so they're going to figure it out, how they're going to fix that problem. So they have a surgery, you know. On the praise side, and Mission Galveston, Santa Fe, and Texas City doing really good. Yesterday, Santa Fe had a great day yesterday. Many people came, and we get to pray with many people. So continue to pray for that ministry, what God blessed our county with. Today, my counterpart, Brother Mark Red, is here. And if you never been a mission trip, you go with him. It is hilarious. So he make the mission trip so easy, you know. So whenever, you know, when we travel in Ethiopia in a little bitty 1932 Toyota Corolla, Wagner is our counterpart on the other side. It's an African pastor. He fit in with us really good. He's an African pastor, an amazing, godly man. Then Wagner, then Pastor Raju, then Dr. Mark. Look like an Oreo cookies. Mark in the middle. I'm in the side. Mark will be side, and we look at each other. Man, it's looking like an Oreo cookie. So, Wagner is really dark. I'm a graham cracker color. Mark is in the middle. We have fun. We argue. We have a great time. And when we are in Ethiopia, so Mark is getting ready to leave in March. So we pray for him. There are so many projects he's getting ready to already started in the city that we go in Gambela. They have around 150 orphans, and they have a church. I talked to you guys about it. I'll be concentrating on many things, and Brother Mark will be concentrating on many things. We got some pictures yesterday on the digging the well, and this year, I ask you to pray. My focus is on starting a small school over there. And the little children, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, one and two, maybe that's a grade. So you pray that, because kids don't have any education. They don't have any clothes. They don't have any nutritional meal. They just wander around. No education whatsoever in that place. So you pray that God lead us. That is my idea, but I don't know what God has planned for. So we just seek God's guidance in that area. You pray that God to make things happen, because they are Sudanese refugees. They don't have anything, nothing. So you pray for the community. I'm looking forward to going back again and continue to pray for the community. This morning, at the Sunday school time, we talked about, that is our seventh series, and Real God series, The Love, the love of God. That's what we've been studying. I think we have one more lesson. I think this series will finish. Is that right, Ben? We have one more lesson? Yeah. After that, we'll finish that. Then Brother Clay will be preaching on the real God, the God's love, and the last Sundays. He'll be continue to preaching that when he come back. But we'll be starting a different series soon. So I will be touching here and there. People who are here in the Sunday school, you probably heard more same thing I was talking about. But the love of God, like the lesson was talking about, how do you know the love of God? We learned in a song when we were little kids, you know, Jesus loves me. Wow, where did you hear? For the Bible tells, Jesus loves me, this I know, where the Bible tells me. So the Bible tells us that Jesus loves us no matter what. Because you know what? In Genesis chapter, talking about when God created each one of us, he created each one of us his own image. You and I'm not belongs to Jane, I'm not belongs to my dad, I belongs to God. We are the property because he made us the same clay and mud and dirt that he created. He made each one of his own image. So we don't have any authority over ourselves. He's the only one got the authority over us. This morning we were talking about in our Sunday school lesson. So we talked in the prodigal son. He walked away from his dad. He was belongs to dad. Then he wandered away from his dad. But then he came back to his home. See, that's what happened. God created you and I, his own image, and put us in the world and grow and multiply and prosper us. All those things happened. But what happened? We, the human, we wander away from God. Then eventually, when he's going to come back to him, whether we wander away from or not, he never quit loving us. He loves us. His love is unconditionally. The agape love that Chippo was talking about this morning in the video. You know, his love is unconditionally. He never quit loving. Whether we were sinner, he died for us. So here is, talking about John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 is talking about, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should call the children of God. That what we are the children of God. He lavishes love for us. The defining God's love. We know there is a God. He loves us so much, the Bible tells us that. But how do we know that he loves us? We all come to the church, or all prettied up. We shake hands and we put a couple of bucks in the offering plate, and we come to the all kind of activities, Sunday school and everything. And after that, when we leave here, what are we going to do? We're going to do what we want us to do. God put us in this world to do what he wants to do, because that is his love. It doesn't matter what you do, but he loves you anyway. But the love of God makes us do things and show his love to other people. So that is his love is all about. It's an unconditional love. Do we love unconditionally? No, we don't. We always have condition. To our children. I remember my children, we used to abuse our children when they were little. And we could end up in a CPS or somewhere, you know, because when the kids come home with a 95 grade, we ask them, Jane, first thing Jane went, what happened to the other 5 points? See, that's everything we are conditionally. When you do things, when you do good, we do things for other people. When you know, but what God did, what John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave us only begotten. God so loved, no matter what, the world is going crazy. America is going down the tube. We don't need God. We got everything done. The new green thing coming up. We're going to be okay. But still, God loves America. God loves you and I. He's going to take care of us. But we have a responsibility as a Christian. Be obedient to God. Study the Word of God in a daily basis. Do what He wants us to do. But coming to church don't make you a Christian. Just like Billy Graham was talking about a long time ago, when you're born in a garage, you don't make you a car. When you got baptized in Northside Baptist Church, that don't make you a Christian. Coming to church and reading, there's a pastor here standing here preaching the God. If you are know the scripture, if you read the Bible, you can preach. Anybody can preach. When people preach, when the normal people preach, everybody understands what they preach. When I preach, you know, very few people understand. Right? That's what Sid told me. So we need to be obedient to God. He loves us so much. He gave His love. Romans chapter 5, 8, talking about while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He sacrificed a love. His unconditional love. It's boundless love, loving someone in desperation, even though they don't deserve the love. That's what God's love is. Loving someone during the desperation, even though they don't deserve it. That's me. I never deserved the love of God. Last Sunday I said I was sinners of sinners. But He found me. He loved me. He took good care of me and picked me up and put me where I am right now. And we all are sitting here in the sanctuary. We all are enjoying the blessing that we don't even deserve it. That's God's love. Forgiving us. And He loves, even though we wander away from His presence this afternoon, or tomorrow, or next month, or next year, His love never changes. That's called unconditional love. God's love for us, His thoughts, His intention, His desire for us, His thought for us, His intention for us, His desire for us. What is it? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, talking about, I have a plan for you. God already have a plan for Ben Johnson before he was even born. Not to harm you, brother. I want to protect you. I want to prosper you because you are my child. I'm going to take care of you. You stay with me. I have a plan for you, not to harm you. Yes, sometimes we go through the dark valley. Like last Sunday I was talking about, we go to the dark valley. So He is there for a while. He had a staff within His hand. He's going to shoot all the wolf. Coming to eat His sheep. When the sheep wander away, He used that hook and bring it back to me. Not to harm you. But to prosper you, to welfare, not to disaster or tragedy, give you a future and a hope. Without Christ, there is no hope. Without Christ, there is no future. Yeah, I have a job. I have a one nice house. I have this and that. Son, people, this will go away to blink of an eye, but there is one person. I never leave you, never forsake you. The promise the Lord Jesus gave us, He's going to be with us the end of the earth. He's going to protect us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to care for us. I'm never going to harm you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to give you. I'm going to prosper you. That is a promise from the Lord of God, the living God. Do we believe that? No, we don't. When we have a great worship service, and when we go home right now in a few minutes, we're going to go to Golden Corral and stand in the line. Oh my goodness, look at the line over there. And I'm hungry. Where this all the Methodists came from? This morning my devotion was, be a light of the world. Are we the light of the world? Our Father, He is the light of the world. He was hung on the cross for us. We are supposed to emulate His qualities. We are supposed to be the light of the world. Wherever we go, we are supposed to be the light. We are supposed to stand in the person. Hey, look at Jim Wood. He's a wonderful Christian. Look at him. He had a smile on his face all the time. That's what other people, you are the only Bible they're going to see when you are out in the marketplace. Don't be just a Bible when you come to the church. Go out there. What is the Great Commission? Therefore, go and make disciples. How are we going to make it? I tell everybody, you don't have to carry a King James Bible wherever you go. You don't have to stand at the street corner and preach the Word of God everywhere you go. Be the Bible, then others can see Christ through your face, your smile, your talk. Or don't drive like a maniac in a 90 miles in an I-45. Cut through everybody. You're going to get into trouble. So that is our God. We need to carry Him wherever we go. He has a plan for each one of us. He is kind. He is open. He is approachable. He is kind to each one of us. He is so open. His door is wide open. We can go to Him anytime, in any fashion, wherever we are. That is in the Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12, talking about, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. I will listen. You call upon me. I'm there for you. I didn't move a bit. I'm there. My door is open. When you call, Father, yes, Son, I'm here. I'm waiting to hear from you. That's what He's talking about. He's kind. He's open. He's approachable. He's eager to hear from us. Call me. I will hear your word. And you will seek me and find me. We had to seek Him. And we will find. We have a responsibility as a child of God. That prodigal son, he ran away from home, but he realized that I need to go home. I'm messed up. I don't have anything. I don't even have a piece of bread. I don't have a piece of injera. Don't make the face. He decided to go to my dad. I'm going to go to my dad. Whether I'm going to tell him, Father, I don't worth it. Diddly squat. Don't even treat me as his son. Treat me a lower labor. But he didn't even get to finish what he had to say. Before that, his dad put his arms around him, gave him the shoes, gave him the ring. He gave him every blessing. He did one thing. The son did one thing. Decided to go home to his dad. Yes, we wander away from God many times. But we have a responsibility. Get back to your Father. Confess our sin. He said He's open all the time. He's waiting to hear from us. He's going to hear us. And He's going to bless us. He is emotionally identify your pains. That is the love of God. He is emotionally identify his pain, our pain. He knows what's going on in our life. What's going on in our life? We have a surgery coming tomorrow. He knows that. He already prepared the doctors and the technicians. You had to go through chemotherapy. You know that. He knows every drop of blood running through your system. He knows every fiber, every muscles. He knows what you are going through. He's a compassionate father. They're talking about muscles. You know, Jane asked me to go to the gym every day right now. I got to go to the gym. I got to do some exercise. And my trainer said, do this, and my muscle said, no. I asked God, help me with these muscles. You know, so I can do some exercise, I can move some muscles. But he does know everything. He knows our emotion. Mary and Martha had one brother, Jesus' bosom buddy. He died. He went over there, stood in front of the tomb, and what Jesus did, he wept. When we cry, he cried with us. He wiped our tears. When we are afraid, he wrap your arms around you and say, it's okay. I am with you. I am your father. When you're scared, he's going to hold your hands. He is lamp to my feet, light to our path, so you don't stumble stepping on rocks. That is the loving Father. He knows our emotion. You are going through a financial problem, he knows. You're going through a physical issue, our Father knows. But we need to completely give everything. Complete surrender in his hand. He's going to take care of us. And he's a loving Father. His love is amazing. See what a great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should call the children of God. That is, we are. Are we a child of God this morning? I want to finish my sermon quick, because last week I heard I preached too long. people who complain to me, Brother Mark, I'm going to take him to Ethiopia with us. Brother Mark preach 1.5 hours, Pastor Raju preach 1.5 hours, Wagner preach 1.5 hours. So I'm going to take everyone with us next time. Some people in our church, Northside Baptist Church, Brother Mark, we have a watch ministry. Our Father, take pleasure in you, just who you are. Totally apart from the performance, he takes pleasure in each one of us. That is a loving Father. Psalm 37:23 is talking about the step of a man established by the Lord, and he delight in his way. A step of a man established by the Lord, and he delight in his way. Psalm 149 verse 4 is talking about, for the Lord take pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted and with salvation. He takes pleasure in each one of our life. It doesn't matter what we do, but He's our Father. He's our children. He always, just like my grandchildren in Dallas. I had two. They cannot do anything wrong in our grandparents' eyes. Because we delight in even they do, they are mischievous. Jane and I sit there and laugh. But that's our God is. Our action, He cares for that, but He loves us anyway. So that is the thing we need to understand, that we are serving a living God, a loving God, a caring God, a forgiving God. When things don't run in our way, don't get mad. Thank God for the affliction. He has a plan through that affliction. That's what it's all about. Sometimes, you know, I don't know whether it's proper I'm going to say this or not. If I'm not proper, forgive me, Brother Ben. I'm going to use Ben a lot of things because of our friendship. Ben's first wife passed away with cancer. Ben was devastated. You tell me all the stories. But through that devastation, God has a plan for his life. But God, Ben was so faithful all these years during the treatment, during all those things. He had the trials. He had the boys. And he had, like, you tell me all this. You know, he stayed steadfast, focusing his eyes on God. Look at God blessed him. But that is the testimony he used now to tell how great my God is. My God is a mountain mover. He can move the mountain. He can move whatever the obstacle your way. But you focus your eyes on God, on the Calvary cross. He is faithful. That is, we need to understand that when we go to the affliction, don't throw your hand in the air, or heck with it. I've been serving God all these years, but look what happened to me. I'm bankrupt, but God has a plan for your bankruptcy. But you need to have faith in Him. We always say, I have faith in Him. But little breeze come our way, man, we shattered. Oh my God, what I'm going to do. I can tell you stories after stories. One time, Brother Mark and I were sitting in the restaurant or in the plane or somewhere. We were talking about the Sudanese people. They don't have anything. I was telling him, Brother Mark, I understand that real good. I know the empty pocket. I came to America as a student. Empty pocket, nothing to eat, no money for bus fare. My lunch was one bag of Cheetos and a cup of water. Because I didn't have money to buy lunch. But God was molding me through all those things. He was purifying me to, I have a plan for you, not to harm you. So that is the thing we need to understand. When we go through the valley, you need to understand God has a plan for whatever we go through. Yes, we were young once. We used to run around. We could do all those things. When we get old, our mind said, you can do it. Your body said, forget about it. But still, we can do one thing. Somebody said something. What do you say? You can do one thing, pray. You can pray for our church family. We can pray for the missionary. We can pray for our country. We can pray for our family and friends. Pray. Prayer is so powerful that we can do. The God revealed his love to us. God said in Genesis, let us make the man let us make. And he blew his breath. Right now, we are breathing God's breath. We are child of God. He owns each one of us. Everything that belongs, that's what I tell my children, everything that you see in front of your eyes belongs to God. As a blink of an eye, everything can disappear. But you be thankful to God for giving us life. And he gave us hope. God created mankind his own image. The image of God, he created them. Male and female, that's what we are. Living in this world. And multiply. And do what God wants. You know, we all are missionaries. We go to build the kingdom of God. That is the purpose that he made us. To build the kingdom of God in this world. But we all want to do what? Our kingdom, my kingdom. Completely forget where we get. I see that in a TV interview, people talking about the money. I have the job. I have the health. I have the money. I have this. I have that. My friends, you have nothing. People do so many crazy things for power. You don't have any power. We are serving a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He got the power. Sometimes we forget when the prosperity comes. I was talking to Jane the other day. The prosperity comes, people completely forget our Creator. That's what happened in the United States of America. That's what happened all around the world. When I was growing up in the old country, every night at 7:30, you can hear the prayer service going on every family. Every family sit together, sing and read prayer, read a Bible and pray. Everywhere I see them, I grown up in a small village. If you walk through the street, you can see. There's a little bit of kerosene lamp in the middle. Families sit together and they are singing and praising. Now, India became a developing country. I tell Jane, I wish they wouldn't develop India. Every house has 2-3 television. No houses in my neighborhood have prayer anymore, because during that prayer time, TV has so many beautiful programs. Every family sitting in front of the television watching TV. Prosperity. Put God in your backside. But one day, you will be standing in the presence of him. Only thing you and I, the children of God, want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, welcome. That's what we are waiting for. That soft, tender voice. Come on, son, welcome. You did good. Are we moving forward to that? The real God's love. You know the real God's love. Are you experiencing the real God's love? He showed his kindness to everyone. Matthew chapter 5, 44. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute. That's the love of God. Love your enemy. I have a hard time for that. I'm talking about me. Loving our enemies. When I have an enemy, I just crawl under the carpet. I don't have anything to do with them. The other day, I had a couple of pastors. We met together for coffee. We were talking about all these things. One pastor asked me, I had some issues with some people. How is your relationship with them now? And I was so proud to say, I meant the relationship with the people I had some problem with. I said, it's good right now. We meet together, we break bread together, we drink coffee together. But right now, you know, I'm a pastor. I stand in the pulpit and preach the word, love your enemy. If I don't be, I don't do what I preach, I'm a hypocrite. And God convinced me that. I know we all have family members that we have issues with. But we need to love our enemy and pray for those who persecute us. So you may be the children of your Father in heaven. So when we are a child of God, that we need to follow His example, His character, wherever He go. He came in flesh. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He came to die just for me and for you. He came to take us to the woodshed, to protect us from the destructive behavior. Sometimes we have destructive behaviors. Most of the destructive behaviors in the middle of the Christian community. Last Sunday I talked about, I was in a church where I had 180 some members in the church. Church split. Destructive behavior, because we take focus out of from God, we're going to put focus on each other. When you do that, God is going to take you to the woodshed. But that don't mean he hates you. The old saying, Brother Ben, you remember when your dad punished you, son, he's hurt me more than he hurt you. That's a lie. But he loves us. That's the reason he takes us and go through the dark valley. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, talking about those who, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Yes, be obedient to him. Take the discipline when he does that. But he always gets you through it. He will give you the strength. Sometimes, for a period of time, you want to get our attention. We got to go through some times. But cling on to that solid rock. He will never leave you, never forsake you. That is the promise. Promise that this book is full of promises of God. Study the Word of God every day and understand the Word of God. Now everybody has the Bible in their hand. When we get back home, we put it on the shelf. Next Sunday morning, we pick it up. No. Use it every day. So you can encourage, God can encourage you. The Scripture can encourage you. He pour His love into our heart. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 is talking about, and the hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in your heart through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit, when you become a child of God, the God is going to pour your Holy Spirit on you. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be a witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, and at most part of the world. When you are a child of God, He has certain expectation about you and I building the kingdom of God. That's what God sent in Nehemiah to build the wall in Jerusalem. Do that thing. That's what we want. We all have a great commission. The great commission just not just for the disciples, it's for us. The love of God, spread the gospel wherever you are. You are at the workplace or the marketplace or the school or home or wherever it is. You should be a child of God, not only at church. Everywhere, 24/7, you should be a child of God. Yes, there are so many temptations. I have a support group. 3-4 of my brothers, we meet once a month. We eat lunch, and that's a 2-3 hour lunch. And we met last week. We had a wonderful time. We just asked, we are four old people. I want to say mature people. We are not mature. We are. That the waitress always think, I wish this guy leave, you know, because we make a lot of noise. We laugh and we cut up and we had a wonderful time. And one of the things I was telling my brothers, last Thursday we met, Thursday or Friday we met, and that Friday was national. Huh? That came from the Baptist, okay? This side of the Baptist. Last Friday was National Margaritas Day. Margarita is a liquor people drink. I just found that out through the Facebook. You know who published that in the Facebook? Two Baptists. Nobody else. Don't be a stumbling block to anybody to come to Christ. If I'm going to post that, I have so many homeless people and non-Christian people outside front. They're going to say, oh, Pastor Raju did that. That is the one thing I don't post anything on the politics or the worldly things, because I just read all this nonsense people write. It's good. It's an entertainment. But the thing about people do all those things without even knowing. I'm not telling you guys drinking is bad or smoking. That's up to you guys. But you live by the word of God. The scriptures say your body is a temple of God. We cannot run a gasoline engine with a diesel. So you need to make your body pure and holy, worthy before your Father. So that is talking about, I'm not talking about that ad or any of those things, that I'm talking about wherever we go. We have so much temptation in here. I see that. I confronted one of my brother. He was a deacon. He was sitting in one of the restaurants with a drink in front of him. One of the other churches. What kind of testimony is doing? Are we spreading the love of God? If I'm when I drive through the Texas City, if I see even my brother Ben is coming from a nightclub, I know brother Ben. But another church member, that's the first time he came into Northside Baptist Church. Brother Ben was a deacon here, and Brother Ben coming out of the nightclub, that man going to think, oh, this is the Baptist church? And he's a deacon in the church. So people, we need to watch what we do, what we say, in wherever we live. We're supposed to emulate the Christ characteristic wherever we are. Don't compromise your faith with anything. Then we are not any different than the worldly people. Do not compromise, because God is, He's our Father. He loves us so much for everything that we, even though we are sinners, He loved for us. He died for us. He shed the blood on the Calvary cross. Through the cross, He gets hope. My brothers and sisters, the love of God. My dad always tell me, God's love supposed to hit you. You should be a mirror and reflect to other people. When the sun hit the mirror, that's supposed to reflect to other people. Always on God. Wherever you go, whatever we do, whatever you say. Sometimes we don't think. I remember we used to have a business meeting here in Northside. My first time I was interim pastoring doing the business meeting, and one of the church members told me, oh, Brother Raju, that's the way I am. No, that's not the way you are. When you are a Christian, you are a new creation. All the bad thing is gone. Everything is new. So we need to be a new creation for God. We need to carry Him wherever we go. We must respond to believe in our heart. I went a little over time. But God, a loving God, His love is amazing. He's always there for us, no matter what, wherever we go. When we wander away from the presence of God, He is there for us. When you are going through painful, He is there. He understands your pain. He weep with you. He cry with you. He sympathize with you. At the same time, He'll show His love. It's amazing. So don't be left behind. He is a loving, caring, compassionate Father. When we were sinners, He died for us because He know us. We born in sin. So that is what it's all about. Do you know Him? Do you have the relationship with Him this morning? The real God. There is no God other than our living God. Yesterday I got several messages came from our ministry in India. They're baptizing people left and right. The villages, they go in a bicycle, they tell them about Jesus Christ. Wherever the lake they see, they dunk them right there. People are hungered to hear the word of God in all around the world right now. You pray that God give us that hunger. Give our country, our nation, America, give us that hunger to know You better and make America one nation under God. I know if you are first time sitting in Northside, I know God brought you for a purpose. If you are looking for a church, you came to the right place, a loving, caring, a mission-oriented church. We have so many ministries you can plug into. You never accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. He's waiting for you in open arms this morning. Don't left behind. Would you say yes to Him this morning? If you have any kind of burden, you want to talk to somebody, the prayer leaders will be here, both sides of me. Come and pray with them. Our God is a forgiving God. He's a mountain mover. Whatever the mountain you are facing, He will move it for you, or He will give you the strength to climb over it. In a few minutes, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. I want you to draw an imaginary circle around you and focus your eyes on the cross only. There's so many things going on out there. Don't focus on anything. Just you and Christ this time. And talk to Him. God, I messed it up. He understands if we already messed it up, but He'd like to hear from us. I need You. And come and pray with us. Let's all stand together.